Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, and with me, as always, is Dan.
Hi, Dan. Not so much, buddy.
What? What do you mean?
I mean, my name is not Dan. This is your old pal, Frankie Mermaid.
Oh, Frankie Mermaid is here, everybody. This is an old fan favorite of the show. Everyone knows who Frankie Mermaid is.
Yeah,
Frankie,
how you doing? Everybody knows Frankie Mermaid, you fucking piece of shit.
How did your last pimping routine go?
You know, I smacked the bitch around a little bit, and then I killed somebody's parents, but that's besides the point. I'm here to host a podcast. Get the fuck out.
This is my show, actually.
When was your last confessional? Bless you, Father, for you have sinned.
Frankie, also, I don't think it's PC to say you've been smacking women around. I think that's not, like, a cool thing anymore to say.
I'm Frankie Merman. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Hey, your hair is great, by the way.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I am actually Dan.
Whoa. What a tour de force.
Frankie Mermaid is not my alter ego, but I do get paid handsomely to have him in my house.
Yeah. Dan is a Frankie Mermaid impersonator, actually.
Yes.
And he learns everything he can from Frankie Mermaid to impersonate him.
And then I go into wrestling rings and fight women, and they beat the shit out of me.
Holy shit, yes. Absolutely.
Deep cut. Deep cut for whoever knows who that is. I'm not even going to tell you his name.
So good. That was so good. Rand Paul, we're talking about.
Yes,
anyways,
Rand Paul.
So on this show, we like to cover independent films. That's what we do. Reason we brought up Frankie Mermaid is because he is the lead character.
The titular character, almost.
Like, you should put him on the cover.
Film was almost called Frankie Mermaid, I read somewhere.
It was the Velocipastor is what we watched. Frankie Mermaid is actually not the lead character. He is the first villain that is introduced. And I was like, if the rest of the film is about this guy, I'm totally down.
Yeah, exactly.
but we watched Velocipastor. It's a 2018 film. And there's a few things about it that I would like to talk to you about. Actually,
please.
Well, Dan, why don't you explain what the movie is and then I'll get into my spiel.
Certainly. So here's basically what happened. This pastor, a priest, if you will, his parents die and his priest mentor tells him to go find himself to figure out how to cope with his parents dying. And then as he is finding himself in China, of all places, he gets scratched by an artifact that turns him into a dinosaur.
Yeah. His priest buddy, Stuart, I think his name is, tells him to go where God can't find him.
Yes, and he goes to China.
And there's this huge buildup, and then it finally reveals, he's like, wow, China. And he's just like in the woods somewhere.
We're already getting into a review here. But China is just this nondescript forest with the word China over it.
Yeah.
Like, the movie has absolutely no budget. Like, that's what's kind of beautiful about it. But I will say going into this review, I think I'm going to do a lot of self-discovery because there's a lot I like about it and there's a lot I don't like about it. So
okay. We
will determine whether I like this film by the end. However, whether you like it or not, I feel like the film does a much better job than Kung Fury ever did. So
yes,
I'm going to say...
that's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm going to say go ahead and watch this film. It was very entertaining, but I don't know if I can say I liked it.
Damn, that was spicy, and I loved it in my tummy. Yum, yum, yum. Okay, so Kung Fury is another film that got made out of a short. This film was originally made by Brendan Steer, my bad. And he made this as a trailer for a Grindhouse film, I guess for like a student project. And it went viral. People loved it. I wasn't aware of that aspect of it until learning more about it. And then he made it to a full film, feature film. Same kind of deal with Kung Fury. Kung Fury was like a little skit thing that somebody made just to show, like, here's some cool special effects I can do. And then people loved it so much they made it into a movie. Now, with Kung Fury, that's just a whole, like, it's just 80s references and, like, stupid nonsense.
It flopped hard because it has no substance at all. Like, they just said, They kept saying what if without trying to answer the what if questions.
But it only flopped with us because people fucking loved it.
Yeah, I know. I will say that. Like, so and people who love it are stupid.
That's right. If you disagree with me, you're wrong. Ah. And and then came a movie called Turbo Kid, which I felt like did a way better job than what Kung Fury was trying to do.
Turbo Kid was awesome.
With references and everything else like that. That felt more like a trauma movie. Now, the VelociPastor feels like if Matt Stone and Trey Parker never made their first film about Cannibal the Musical. And they made this movie instead. They're like, what if we just did this as our first film? And, I mean, I love Cannibal the Musical. I love all...
Well, film is, like, very trauma-esque, like, without being trauma. So, and if you don't know what trauma-esque means, educate yourself. We don't have time.
Just look up trauma films. You'll see what we mean. But I think this movie goes beyond trauma, though.
Absolutely.
The writing... The reason I bring up Matt Stone and Trey Parker is I think their writing is really good and on point.
Yes.
And the writing of Brendan Steer...
The strongest point of the film, I think.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, I was laughing 90% of the time
in this
film.
Okay, so in addition to the comedy, why the writing is so strong, I think, is because of how he writes in his budget into the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he's... A lot of the comedy comes from the fact that he's on a constrained budget and his creativity propels him out of his issue, basically.
Yeah. So, how much money do you think this movie had?
Do you have it looking up right now?
I do have it.
Okay. $10,000.
So it is more than that. The estimation was $35,000 to $45,000.
That's still
very
small.
The director and writers own money.
Wow.
Which is like, if you want like investors to fund your next project, I will definitely throw money at you for you to make a film. Now, okay. There's a lot of, I love the way the movie looks. I love the way the movie feels. And there's some interesting trivia in here where it talks about how he intentionally, he intentionally hurt the film. He would like drag it on the floor and like mess with it. To make it more grainy and look more shitty.
Yes, okay. I was wondering why, like, if he did do that, because I didn't notice that in some areas. Yeah.
It's
filmmakers do that all the time. Like, a famous filmmaker that did that is Lars von Trier. If you've ever seen his film Breaking the Waves, that movie looks incredible, but he fucked with that film so much to achieve how it looks. It's crazy.
And I really want to believe that he did that. Because, I mean, this is just, you know... IMDb trivia, but you know, it's I'm assuming it was a real thing. So this boy. Okay, the other issue I had, not issue, but point of contention against reviewers is if you go to the reviews of this, at least on IMDb, people are saying this is a so bad it's good type of a film. Mm. Like, this movie's so awful that you're gonna love it.
This is
like
okay.
It's The Room or something. Those people are fucking morons.
Let's clear the air here. This is my issue with this film. It's not a so bad as good kind of film. It is intentionally made bad on purpose, but it's not the same as a Sharknado.
Yes, yes!
Which is why I have such a hang-up about it, because I hate movies like Sharknado. And I want to say I don't like this movie because of how it's intentionally trying to be bad, but it's so good at what it does, and it doesn't do it ham-fistedly. It does it like from a genuine filmmaker's perspective, and I think that's why I'm drawn to it, even though it's not a movie that I would normally see, because I fucking hate these types of movies.
This is a film that, like, if I were to make a film, this is what I would try to aspire to make. Something like this, because it is a horror action comedy, it's a low budget, and you're sticking with what can you do within your budget to make it entertaining, right?
Yeah, it's...
So, like, try to have that good writing, have that gore, have that silliness, because it's easy to make a silly... Yeah.
Like, it reflects upon its own, you know, existence as a film, and you can... Like, there's a genuine love of filmmaking in that film, whereas in Sharknado, there's just a genuine love of let's be as outlandish as possible because it's going to sell.
Well, yeah, one, Sharknado just seems like I want to make money off of dummies who are going to get marketed to this. And then this film feels like I wanted to make this film because he believes in this film and thinks it's going to be good. Like, for his own reasons, it's not for, like, mass market appeal or whatever trash other people are trying to do. Yeah, like this, 10 stars, absolute garbage, a must watch is someone's review. And I'm like, I hate you. And people just keep doing this, you know, the best, worst thing you'll ever see. It's like, go fuck yourself. Yeah, people suck. Anyways,
don't read IMDb. Only listen to us. We are the only official word that you ever need on any film. So that's just more of a reason for you to submit films to us. So you can get reviews, you know, from real people that have hearts.
Real people, real news.
Yeah. I mean, at least we converse about it. That's, and like, okay.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Here goes Dan's soapbox corner.
Real talk. It's one thing to sit behind your screen and write a review.
Yeah.
Anonymously. But it's another thing to podcast and have a conversation about films, having differings of opinion. And, you know, even though, you know, we kind of reach the same bias, we still are two different people. Like, come on, guys.
I will also say that opinions are opinions, yes. And yes. There are people who can think that this movie is so bad it's good. That's fine. I just disagree with you.
Jared.
Yes?
May I ask the first question this week?
You may, good sir.
Do you think that this film referenced or paid homage to Miami Connection on purpose?
Right? I was getting a lot of different vibes from this movie. Even like...
You have, like, the cocaine drug lord slash dojo master.
Yeah.
You have the scene that ends in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You have just the outlandish screaming whenever there's violence happening.
Like the music in this
there's
movie
so
good
much
too.
That felt like, you know, Miami Connection is just haunting this film.
What did you feel about the music?
I like the music. I liked every
great.
Part of the film. Even like the budgetary constraints. Like I appreciated where you know the spirit. I appreciate the spirit of this film. And I think whether it be music, whether it be the way it looks, like the dinosaur in this film looks fucking stupid. It's
oh yeah,
beautiful.
It makes
stupid.
You laugh
it's
out
not,
loud.
It's not CGI.
It's a papier-mâché, so it is a papier-mâché T-Rex with a big goofy head and a big hunchback so the person could fit in it.
Yeah,
but
so,
it's supposed
so
to be a raptor.
The hunchback of the T-Rex is the person's head.
Yeah, it's really, really dumb. I
it
love
looks,
it so much.
It's almost like attach like a T-Rex face to Grimace from McDonald's, the big purple
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. But what's great is, so they go throughout... The whole movie only slowly revealing what the dinosaur looks like.
Yes,
you only
and
see
that
like
was
glimpses
smart too.
Of it. Like we were watching a fucking Jurassic Park over here. But every time you see little glimpses of it, it always looks like real stupid. And but like it kind of seems passable when they're you know like dark lighting and you can mm-hmm. barely see it. But at the end, they're fighting in broad daylight and he's just like running around like an idiot. And it's so funny. Laugh so much. it's fantastic. So we're going to get into spoilers for this movie. I highly recommend you go and see this film on Amazon Prime. It's like
oh, did you find it on Prime? I was just an idiot.
On Amazon Prime, it is there for a dollar or so. You have to pay.
It's on Vudu and Tubi as well.
Yes. It's for free. So you can go there, watch it. You just got to watch the little commercials, whatever. Highly recommend this movie. It is a great horror action comedy. It's silly. The writing is fantastic. What really saves this movie is if the writing was poor, this movie would have fell apart.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So, okay, with that, Dan, is there like a scene or something you'd like to talk about?
So many. All right. So let's start with the thing that propels the movie into... existence, and that is the
sure.
death of this man's parents.
I'm already laughing.
So he does his sermon, and he's saying goodbye to everybody on the way out, as benediction normally goes in a church service. And he sees his parents across the street next to like this old 80s, like you know, sedan, and they're waving at him, and he's like, "Hi, mom. Hi, dad." And then all of a sudden you hear an explosion And instead of a car explosion, you see a blank, like, that area just with nothing on it. And over the top, it says VFX car explosion.
Yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
text. And so at first, funny. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And mm-hmm. the more they hammed that up and, like, really went for it, I laughed a little bit more. But what really solidified it is later in the film, whenever the guy realizes that it was Frankie Mermaid that killed his parents.
Yes.
There's a scene where you can see Frankie Mermaid crouching behind the invisible car, rubbing his hands together. And that made me laugh so hard.
Talking about how he had a hard-on blowing up
yeah.
his parents.
He's like,
That was one of the best scenes in the movie when Velocipaster, his arm turns into a raptor and he bursts through the confessional and starts choking him and shit. And he goes... He's like, I'm not going to tell you anything. He's like, you might as well kill me. He's like, all right. He just cuts his throat. I was like, that was fucking awesome. Okay. This is where, so a while ago when I was vetting this movie, I'm like, could this be a movie that we would watch on the show? I watched the first couple minutes of it. I saw the VFX skit. I laughed. I thought it was funny. But what really won me over is this thing they do. It's like this cool grindhouse type of technique where they split the screen and they have two characters talking, but they're facing the camera speaking in this weird lighting. I love it so much. It's so cool. And he's talking with Stuart. Doug is the main character and Stuart is the other pastor. And he's like, maybe you should go somewhere and clear your head and you know, really get a new perspective on life after your parents had died. And I was like, if this is what the movie is, I'm in. There's something really nice about what the director does.
No, it's extremely
experimental.
It just
feels like he has a real appreciation for cinema, and I just love the way he shot everything in the movie.
That split screen is very Brian De Palma. And I'm going to tell you this right now, because I wrote a huge... this is my biggest note. So here's the next scene I want to talk about. We're going out of order. Definitely watch this film. This sex scene... A+.
Oh, yeah.
A+. Like, this is the best sex scene I've ever seen in a movie. And, like, let's just say that I don't like sex scenes. But here is my note. There's split screens. So the split screens are all over the place, and they're awesome. And it's just abstract touching. It's not even sex at first. It's just, like, them reaching out to each other. And it's great.
Yeah, it's like a music video.
The song that's playing is called, like, I Don't Even Have Time to Think. And that has a really good message. The reference to that one painting... of God reaching out to Adam. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually do that with their hands. Oh, my God. And then in the sex scene itself, there's a montage recap of the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to them having sex.
It's
pretty
great. It
was magnificent.
What was really cool is when they show a bunch of the different scenes, like, flying by... There were scenes in that did not happen in the film.
Yeah.
So there was, like, joke scenes in there that were just for you to catch. Oh, I love it. It's
like,
so funny.
This film, and it's so tasteful, too, because you wouldn't think, because before this scene, there was a fucking training montage in this movie. And I'm like, okay, that was weird, but that was silly. And then they made a second montage happen, and I didn't care about it. I thought it was awesome. So it's interesting how the pacing of this film allows... I think there's even a third montage. Like, there's three fucking montages in this movie that exist. And who the fuck does that?
Didn't mind any of them.
So experimental, and it worked.
So you said a great word right there, which is tasteful and respectful. And I feel like this movie is that. And that is not something you would think of with, like, a grindhouse...
Exactly.
...like, horror, low-budget comedy film like this.
No, and this has refined taste. Like, this... You can take this movie you can take this movie with a nice, you know, Pinot Noir, earthy notes.
This guy knows exactly what he's doing and what he wants. It's not. Moment of silence. I'm just kidding. All right, I wanted to read some of the quotes in this film because I have a huge hard on for the writing of this movie. So many quotable lines. When Doug meets the prostitute lady and he saves her from a thug by turning into a raptor and they start having a romantic relationship.
Before you even have that quote, who the fuck takes home a raptor?
Well, he turned back into a man.
No, not beforehand, I don't think, did he?
I don't know. He passed out, I guess. Who knows?
Maybe, I don't know. Go on.
Oh, plot hole. Movie's trash. So there's one of my favorite scenes too is he is in her bed and she walks up and she's got like her booty out and she's like shaking it and walking around being all sexy. And he thinks that they just had sex. Like he got drunk and they had sex. So there's a whole misunderstanding of, he thinks this is, they're talking about sex and she thinks they're talking about him turning into a raptor and killing people. And God, it was so funny. So then after that, they're talking about how she wanted to be, like, she's only being a hooker so she could be a doctor lawyer. She says this, there's surprisingly little demand for a hooker doctor lawyer. And that made me laugh a lot. And then there's another scene where Doug and Carol are talking about what they're going to do in the situation of him turning into a dinosaur. And she goes, I don't know much about God. And then he says, well, I don't know much about dinosaurs.
Yeah, that was such a good line. Oh my
and
God.
And it's so funny that he intentionally made it so that this pastor turns into a dinosaur who doesn't even believe that dinosaurs exist.
Yeah, there's a one-off line. Stuart has a one-off line that says dinosaurs don't exist.
Yeah, so he has to question all of his beliefs, and he wants to do good things with these powers, but he's also like doesn't want to commit sin. And I love the struggle between his faith and trying to do the right thing, and it's freaking genius. There's another line here I want to read. Where one more line, and he
oh, I got a
it's
line
where
too.
Doug is talking with Stuart, and Doug is trying to convince Stuart that him turning into a raptor and killing people is what God wants. It's God's will. It's a good thing, and that he's not crazy. So he says, "That's insane, Doug. God does not want you to hurt people. He doesn't want dead people." And then Doug says, "Oh, I think God wants a lot of people dead." And I was like, that is so true, because if you read any of the Bible, God is killing people constantly.
Exactly.
And for really asinine reasons.
Well, and like that's another reason why I like this film so much, and that's why I think this film is coming from a place of earnest and heart. It's because of how much they intellectually undermine the Christian faith throughout this entire film. And they do it through one-off jokes that are so simple and silly. But they just, all it does is just make you laugh in the moment. Then you start to really think, you're like, oh, fuck, they're right. Like, it's brilliant in that regard. This film, Jared, leading up to my quote, this film even has a fucking Vietnam flashback.
Oh, my God.
This film has everything.
They so, built up Stuart. Oh,
they,
I love
they,
it.
Stuart has a backstory. A backstory of being in Vietnam with some people, but he's an older guy, so they only gave him a blonde wig that they put a fucking helmet over. So
oh,
looks
he
really
looks the
stupid.
Same age, and just they gave him a blonde wig. It's
and then
hilarious.
his girl back home quote is like the same age as him. So, like, she's this old lady, and he keeps talking about it. He's like, "Oh, I got a girl back home. I want to like I'm fighting for her," and then the guy who's mentoring him or whatever, his captain, who looks leagues younger than him, he dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Stuart's like, oh no, and he's crying over him. And then Stuart's wife shows up to this battleground, and you're like, where the fuck did she come from? And you know something is going to happen to the wife. You just know. I'm like, watch, she's going to step on a fucking mine. And she steps on the fucking mine, and she showers him with blood. Anyway, there's soldiers all around him, and they're like, oh, she must have stepped on a mine. And she's one of them's like, what was she doing in the forest anyway? And the other one's like, I don't know, trying to start a family.
Yeah, holy shit, that was so funny. And he goes like, well, Sarge, I don't think we can help her anymore now. It looks like she's too far gone. She's literally in 1,000 pieces.
She sprayed him with blood.
Yeah,
my God, it's ridiculous.
Fantastic, totally unneeded for the plot, but 100% I welcomed it. It was so funny. I loved how they gave a backstory to Stuart.
And then The villains have a really funny throwaway line too.
Yeah.
Where, okay, so the villains, like, they are Christian and their whole goal is to give people drugs so they get so desperate and addicted that they have to turn to God in order to save themselves. They're explaining their master plan, somebody's like, what does drug smuggling have to do with Christianity? And somebody's like, everything.
yeah. It's so good. It's so good. One more scene I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
there is a moment where the Velocipastor Doug. He's in the woods. He's trying to control his urges to murder. He's transforming. He's getting hungry. And three ninjas show up. And these three ninjas show up, and they're getting ready to attack him. And then the main ninja's like, okay, we're going to do our three-pronged attack technique. And he starts talking about how they're going to do the technique and how it's going to work, blah, blah, blah. While this is happening, it slowly zooms in on this one guy who's a ninja. It's zooming in on him, and it's just, you start to hear narration in his head over yes. what the other dude is saying about how he knows that he's going to die and how he misses his girlfriend and how he should have done, like, more things in his life, and he regrets the, like, where he is. And it gave me, like, this almost like Quentin Tarantino-esque yeah. type of a vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know like you don't really, you're not a big fan of him. Shit. Yeah, but I love this scene so, like, anytime you can give characterization or more depth to characters, even if they're, like, you know, only in, like, one or two scenes, the movie somehow made me feel bad for this one ninja when they're supposed to be the bad guys, and I love them doing stuff like that. And that's, again, where I go into how well thought out a lot of the different villains are, even if, you know, like, the film doesn't spend too much time with it, they're still like, okay, all these characters have their own motivations.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just here to, like, do the bad things so the good guy can stop them. They think they're right in their own way, you know, like, they all have lives outside of this. And I was like, ooh, this is so good. I love it. It's hard to describe until you actually see it. Because while he's getting torn apart, the ninja is getting ripped apart by the Velociraptor. There are superseded images of his girlfriend smiling at him. Because it's the last thing he's thinking of as this ninja's getting annihilated. Oh,
yeah.
So good. Okay, Dan, was there any other scene you wanted to talk about?
Closing thoughts, watch this movie, but in terms of, you know, me and Jared, if you know us well enough, I think we've kind of talked about it on this podcast, is we're super sticklers for endings. This uh-huh. film's ending, not as good as the sex scene, but it still gets a solid A-, because it's Doug, like, having decapitated somebody and screaming with blood all over his face.
Yeah.
And he takes a second take of screaming. Like, he screams till he has no more breath. Yeah. Then he screams again. And then over top of that, there's, like, the freeze frame, there's a quote from Gandhi. And it's about how we shouldn't have any violence. And it's this dude's face covered in blood. It's so good.
I think this is a film where if you've seen a lot of grindhouse or horror trauma stuff, you're going to appreciate this movie because it pays homage to a lot of those things.
Yeah, it does.
And I think in a lot of ways elevates them, makes them absolutely better. This is better than any trauma movie I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it pays homage to Miami Connection and trauma and shit, but it does so in a way that is not saying, oh, look, I'm referencing. It's transforming the concept into what his story is, which
seriously,
that's what makes it an original movie, and that's why I do have a fondness for it, and I'm glad we talked about it. So it's okay for me to like it. So
yeah,
because I thought it was going to be in the same vein as Sharknado, and liking this movie is going to lump me in with those people.
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is in a whole other league, man.
Yeah, and it is. It totally is. What?
As your pastor, I give you forgiveness of your sin. Okay, that's what I give you, Dan. You're free to
I appreciate that, because I've been struggling with my sins recently.
That's right. A lot of sinning in the bathroom. We won't talk about that.
Lots. So much.
Hey, was there a sly fucking Trigun reference at the end where his girlfriend is like, you got $1 billion bounty on your head? And I was like, what? Dude, is this fucking Trigun?
I didn't even notice that. You're right.
Yeah. I had to point that out. All right. So that was our final thoughts. Go watch this movie, you freaking animals. Get out there. Go use your eyeballs and watch it immediately. Let us know what you think of the film. Do we have any recommendations before we go? If we don't, that's fine.
I watched...
I've only been watching TV shows. I could talk about that.
I watched Geostorm. Don't watch it.
Okay. Oh, is that like a Sharknado type of thing?
No, it's a Gerard Butler tentpole picture where, like, the world is, like, governed by satellites that control the weather, but somebody sabotaging them and killing people.
Ew.
It was a box office movie that, it's a good popcorn flick, but that's what I've watched recently.
I hate natural disaster movies.
I like The Day After Tomorrow. I like that movie. That was pretty good.
I don't like when, I don't know, I want Mother Nature to be cool. Just be chill, dude.
Because it's fucking dying around us right now.
Yeah, I don't know. My recommendation is go watch the Watchmen TV series. And the reason I say this is, do not be discouraged if you don't know anything about Watchmen. The show will hold your hand and it'll help you out as the show goes on. You'll know exactly what's going on eventually as you watch the show. It is fantastic. It is one of the better shows I've seen in a long time that covers race relations and slavery and racism against Black people in the United States. It does it way better than the show Hunters or a lot of these other shows that try to cover Nazis and shit like that. This movie does a fantastic job at covering it. Because I wasn't even really a big fan of Hunters. We may have talked about that on the show.
Yeah, we did.
But anyways, yeah, go watch Watchmen. Super good.
Who watches The Watchmen? You do. Watch our Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on email. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We want your movies. We want your movie suggestions. Get it in there.
Thank you, Daniel San. Guys, go to the Necropodicon Network to get a ton of more cool podcasts like us. They got movie podcasts. They got podcasts where they read about fan fiction. There's a podcast dedicated to evil villains. It's super cool. Go check it out. Necropodicon.com. Do it. If you go there, you can click on the link to the Discord and come talk with us on the Discord. I was just on there preaching the gospel about Velocipaster. So go check that out, please. Dan, you have the final word.
Velocipaster? More like Stegosaurus.
No. Okay. Awesome. Perfect.
Gosh dang it.
What is it, Filson?
Well, Tommy, I just got done listening to the Role Playing Guys podcast.
And?
It was painfully informative. All they do is talk about games I've never heard of.
What do you mean?
Well, every season they take a new TTRPG and they playtest it. Like I just listened to the season where they play Corporia.
Oh, you mean the awesome cyberpunk game set in the corporate-controlled future?
Yeah, that's the one. Ugh, and they also played this game called Numenera.
That's the one about the post-apocalyptic future where a ton of knowledge has been lost, but ancient technology is being found, right?
Yes, and Wrath and Glory, have you ever heard of that?
Of course, I love Warhammer 40K.
Jeez, you sure know a lot of these games.
I sure do, but I haven't had the time, and my adventuring party hates testing out new games.
I guess you might like the show. All I know is I'm tired of learning all these new games.
Thanks, I'll have to check them out.
If Tommy sounds like you, a passionate game lover looking for the next game to try out, you are sure to love the Roleplaying Guys podcast. Every week they come out with a new episode, and every season it's a new game. They test out new games so you don't have to. If you sound more like Filson, stay as far away from this podcast as possible. You might inadvertently come across a new game that you'll love, and you'll have to learn all about it. The Roleplaying Guys is a Necropodicon show.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.